Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your homeschool companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us. Today's title of Windows on God's World subject is called Dragons. And Dr. Tucker put this very comprehensive devotional together many years ago. And I'm saying you could take one devotion and use it for a week or two for a theme. So with that being in mind, I put all the resources I come across in my Pinterest site. And today we're talking about dragons, which are kind of like dinosaurs. In that day, the Lord shall slay the dragon that is in the sea, Isaiah 27:1. Some members of the lizard family are so fantastic in appearance that they are probably responsible for stories about giant fire-breathing dragons. The Komodo dragon is such an animal. This monitor lizard, which lives on a few islands of the East Indies, where it was discovered in 1910, can grow to a length of 10 to 12 feet. In captivity, the reptile is extremely gentle in spite of its frightening appearance. One famous pair in a zoo could be patted like you pat a dog. But in the wild, the Komodo dragon is a fierce creature indeed. Its natural food is wild goats, pigs, and deer, as well as birds and their eggs, amphibians, and small mammals. Reports that these lizards have killed men have never been documented, however. Basilisks are another type of lizard with dragon-like characteristics. These large tree lizards live in Central and South America and are relatives of the iguana. About 3 feet long, the male basilisk has a crest and fins along his back and tail. When he gets excited or threatened, the crest is raised and the loose skin under his chin is expanded. In medieval times, basilisk was the name given to what was supposed to be an unseen inhabitant of the caves and crevices. It was pictured as a crested creature and was supposed to have the power to overcome people by its look or poisonous breath. Although the real basilisk bears some physical resemblance to the mythological one, it certainly has no special powers like that. But the dragon in our text may be symbolic of Satan, the great enemy of God and his people throughout the ages. This is the only real dragon that can have any power over man. The dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. Revelation 20, verse 2. But even he can have no power over us who are surrendered to Jesus. For under the protection of him who has defeated the devil, we are perfectly safe. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to talk about you. We know that through our very feeble human efforts, the good news is being spread that you are coming soon and that you love us so much you sent your Son to die for us. Please help us to internalize that great truth today and to feel the peace that passes understanding. All this I pray in thy holy name, amen. I know that the last enemy to be conquered is death, and death certainly does sting. Wow, it seems like so many of my friends are passing away, and I have the memories of loved ones that have passed away a few years ago, and this is their anniversary of it, and I know you do too, and I just pray that you'll have peace this day. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. It's our experiential learning section. I thought it'd be cool to build a thematic unit on dragons and dinos, or dinos and dragons. You know, when you really delve into it, you can see where the Bible does mention dinosaurs. It doesn't mention it by the word dinosaur, but dinosaur just means giant lizard. And there's lots of giant lizards still around today. Alligators and Komodo dragons and other crested dragons. Very fascinating. So as you're thinking about this, maybe have your kids do a thematic unit on dinos and dragons from a biblical perspective and see how much fun they can have doing the research for that. I've also put on my Pinterest site Answers in Genesis. I put a video there and some dinosaur crafts. But I like to remind you of one that I already put on where you get the plaster of Paris and you get these little plastic dinosaurs and make your own fossils. It's so much fun and the kids have fun painting them, and it's a nice paperweight that they can have for a long time. So in your experiential learning, make sure you're including lots of hands-on learning and have your children take charge of their own. Student-centered learning is the buzzword in education. You can use that too. Curriculum Corner. So you've brought your high school child home in the middle of the year to be homeschooled. They either have done something that was alarming to you, got involved with drugs, alcohol, some kind of self-destructive behavior, or someone was trying to destroy them by being a bully and causing them undue stress. So the first thing you do is say, let's take a step back and reset. No technology, because their friends will still be reaching out to them through technology. No technology, no phones. We can watch some DVDs together, or, you know, a film that I choose. We can watch that together and discuss it, but we're just going to decompress. We're going to go out in nature. We're going to memorize Bible verses. We're going to eat right. We're going to explore God's first book and just decompress. We're going to sleep. We're going to read a good book. We're just going to relax. Doesn't that sound wonderful? And after this de-schooling experience, you know, that gives you time to gather your wits about you. You're now his primary teacher. You're going to get a library card, and you're going to make sure that you've alerted the proper authorities that you are now homeschooling, so you do not have to worry about the truancy officer coming and threatening you to get your child back into school. And then you are going to learn yourself. How do you homeschool this high school student? Do you want him to have credit for some of the subjects that he has been doing? Well, that's where I come in. I can help you make a very credible transcript. Been doing this for years, actually, helping students fill in the gaps. And then we also have our virtual high school classroom where we can help him if you want the subjects that you want him to continue doing, or that he or she wants to continue doing. We can help you with that. So just send me an email at rgamblin@homeschoolcompanion.org. You know, I have two emails. One is myhomeschoolcompanion@gmail.com, and the other one is rgamblin@homeschoolcompanion.org. Either one will reach me. So that concludes my curriculum corner. I thought I'd share this during our parents' time, questions parents ask, because this comes from grandparents. And if you're like me, well, grandparents play a vital role in a child's life, whether they go to traditional school or not. But this Tamara is a grandma who adopted two of her grandsons, and they've been unschooling for 5 years. And this is what they do in their unschooling. They live on a 10-acre homestead in the mountains. They study primitive skills of survival and how to eat out in nature. She's also an herbalist, so she has a lot of natural or a lot of knowledge that she can teach them. and they gather just once a week for school fun days. And in those school fun days, they do lots of different things. Isn't that a cool way to unschool? Unschool and then have a school fun day. It totally changes the paradigm for a child. School is fun, and then you don't have that resistance to learning that we often accomplish in a great way in traditional schools. So good for you, Grandma and Grandpa. Keep up the good work. This question comes from Shannon, and she wants to know what my opinions are on magic in children's books, like Mary Poppins. You know, she could just go up in an umbrella. It probably took a long time for a child to even know that was magic. I don't know if that would even technically be magic, but it was back in the days. And then, of course, one of our greatest writers on apologetics is C.S. Lewis, who made those children's books, those, I guess it would be fables or parables, where the lion represented Jesus. And I grew up where those things were all forbidden. But as I have grown in life, I realize God has given us these fantastic imaginations. Otherwise, we couldn't even imagine his salvation. We couldn't imagine so many things that we haven't actually witnessed if it weren't for our great imaginations, our mind's eye, so to speak. So I'm not going to say yay or nay. I just know that mental health is often measured by how much a child stays in the real world. So we don't want to foster fantasy world. And yet we want them to be able to imagine Christ's love for us. Well, we have a different person interviewed today, Jerry Lynn Rogge, and she works with Christian Records, which is an association for the blind. So if you are homeschooling someone who has a difficulty seeing, or maybe is blind, or you know someone, these are great resources. They're all free. So please stay tuned. Welcome, welcome. I am here with Jerry Lynn Rogge, and we are talking about Christian Record. In fact, it's been around for a long time, but it has so many things to offer. In fact, I'd like to talk about that it was founded in 1899 by Austin Wilson so that more blind people like himself could learn of God's love. The ministry is probably a 501c3, I imagine. It's governed by a board of directors that includes 49% church employees and 51% lay people. The ministry is supported by individuals and businesses whose charitable gifts help ensure programs and services are free to the people we serve. In fact, if you feel the Lord impressing you, you could go and give a gift. You could go to the website, christianrecord.org/give, and give there. So let's start with you. What got you involved in this ministry?
Well, I am the editorial and outreach ministries director at Christian Record, which sounds like a really odd combination. But what I do is, as editorial director, I am in charge of several magazines that are printed for the blind in audio, in braille, or a large print. And the other side of that coin, the outreach side, is partnering with camps across North America, specifically in the United States, to have camps for the blind, national camps for blind children.
Yes, let's talk about the blind camps for a moment. Okay. So are they multi-generational? Are they just for little kids, or how does that work?
When camp started in 1967 for the blind, it actually started at Camp Kalakaua in Florida. And the vision for that came from Norm Middag. So anybody who's ever worked in youth ministry in the Adventist Church, they know about Norm. And he had a real passion for trying to give people who are blind the same experiences as anybody else. And it grew from there. So now Christian Record partners with camps in the United States to have confidence building experiences in nature. And this can be for little kids, which is where it started, was with little kids. But now you have a program where people just love coming year after year after year. Well, they people grow up. So we have people who are now much older who are coming to camps. And so sometimes we'll have camps, one camp property that will say they'll take ages 7 to 16, others who focus primarily on ages 18 and up. So it depends on what the camp is interested in partnering for the ministry to the blind community.
I mean, I love the idea that we don't just cut them off at a certain age.
Absolutely.
I have really struggled with that in my own walk as an educator.
Yes.
Oh, you've graduated from eighth grade. Now you
can't. And now we're done.
Yeah. You can't come. So I love that they've made provisions.
Now, we've also adapted the camp program a little bit because, as I've described, you have people who came as kids. They've grown up. And they're getting older. They're starting to age out of the program because a lot of our camp properties will say age 65 is the last year. Some will go a little higher. But we want more kids to come. So now we've developed a youth camp integrated model that will enable kids who are that child age up through teens to go to our partner camps integrated with their sighted peers. And once they age out of that teen program, they can come join the National Camps for Blind Children program as an adult. So we're trying to get more kids into the program that way.
And this is a great venue. You know, this show is nationwide on thousands of stations, and we want to help that family. We want to help. Maybe you have a visually impaired relative, child. Mm-hmm. This is a very good resource. So what else do you do?
So
I mean, you have in front of you some cool resources.
Yes, let's talk about these cool resources. So we have resources for adults, of course. You know, we've talked about the camps. We've talked about, you know, we have magazines and books for adults. And this uses players that are from the State Library Services for the Blind, as well as online audio. But what I've brought with me today are some examples of what we call full vision books. So
okay.
I'll hand one to you.
Yeah, full vision book.
So full vision books were developed in the mid-60s. And when they were developed, this was with the desire to take books that were already produced in large print and to add Braille to them. And this helps promote literacy within families where a member is blind, whether it's a child or an adult. So the examples we have here, this is with a partnership through Zondervan for their Zonder Kids books. So we have 52 of these titles that we have just released into our library. So if there is a parent who is blind who would like to read to a child in their family, they can get these books. If there's a child in the family who's learning Braille, they can get these books and enjoy time reading together with the print and the Braille together.
So I'm looking at one that says, made by God, poisonous smelling, amazing plants. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it has the Venus flytrap and some mushrooms and strawberries and giant. And when I turn the page, I can feel the Braille over the picture. So is that describing the picture?
What you have there is your the Braille you're feeling on the page describes what's to the left.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's the table of contents.
Right.
And then when I turn it, I am reading.
That's the text on the right side, yes.
I wish that we could bring some of these into our schools so that children could be more aware.
Oh, yes, definitely. You know? I think a lot of people who have not grown up with the experience of being blind perceive blindness as life-ending.
Yeah.
A complete tragedy. And that's absolutely not the case for the people who live that. It's what they know, it's what they understand, and then they've been born that way. That's what they know. And for those individuals who lose their eyesight later in life, yes, there is a lot of adjusting that needs to happen, but there are so many resources available now. We often say that there truly is no better time in Earth's history to lose your eyesight. Not that that's something most people would say they'd want to do, but the resources that are available are just tremendous.
Now, this Beginner's Bible,
yes.
Most of us have seen this.
Right.
It's a timeless children's stories. And
so it's produced normally in one volume. In the full vision edition, it's four volumes. So adding that Braille in does make it a much thicker resource.
And the Braille is on a transparent
plastic.
Mm-hmm. So you still if you're a vision person, you still can see the pictures.
Correct.
And maybe you're just slightly impaired, or you can still get the picture
right.
as well as feel what
right.
it's.
Now, for children who are older, we also have a Braille magazine called The Children's Friend, and it's produced 4 times per year in Braille. And it covers missionary stories. It sometimes will have a recipe in there. It'll have a Bible Bowl section where the child can do a little bit of searching in the Bible to learn about a particular topic. And that is something that is geared more toward like the upper elementary, middle school age kids.
You know, we might talk a little bit about these services. They're free.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have free Bibles in large print. And you have Bible lessons, which, believe it or not, homeschooling families ask me more than anything, where can they get a Bible curriculum? What can they use for Bible curriculum?
Oh, sure. That's a good question.
The sky is the limit,
mm-hmm.
really.
It is. And for the blind community, it can be a bit of an obstacle. So if you have a child in your family who's a Braille reader, there is Braille that is produced electronically on actually rather expensive devices. But if you want to have print on paper Braille, then you have to reach out to organizations to help get it, because a Braille Bible is 6 feet of shelf space. It's a big commitment. And we produce an edition of the Bible called the Net Bible. And this is through an agreement with the Biblical Studies Institute. We just started launching this in large print and in Braille, and it's free. So we're able to produce the Braille edition in-house at Christian Record. And then if somebody wants a different edition of the Bible, we have partners that can help distribute that for us. And when somebody gets a Bible, of course, we want them to start Bible studies, because what better way to get to know your Bible than to study and learn more about what God's Word says. So we have the Discover Bible lessons that are available, and we have other studies as well. And these are available through a correspondence school. So if somebody who's doing the course in Braille or in large print can do the lessons, and it gets sent to our office. My editorial assistant is actually the Bible school coordinator, and a lot of people call him Pastor Richard, although he's not a pastor. He gets asked those questions quite often of, like, you know, if he gets stuck on a topic, he can refer for other resources to help people understand a little better what they're learning. And when they complete the course, they get a certificate. And we also work with local churches to, once they complete the course and they've given permission for us to do so, we'll reach out to a local church and let them know there's somebody who's blind in your area who just completed Bible studies through Christian Record. They may be contacting you, and we hope that you will be welcoming of them when they come and visit you.
You know, I so want my students to feel comfortable around a visually impaired peer.
Right.
And do you have any advice for that?
You know, I think the best way really is to just come up to somebody and just simply say hello. People who are blind are still people. And so if you're on, you know, the subway and you meet somebody who's blind, you might just say, "Hi, my name is Jerry, and what is your name?" And just strike up a conversation. It can be just something as simple as that. But I would urge that being genuine really is key. If you come into it with the thing of, well, you're blind and you needed to learn about Christian Record and you needed stuff, and they may not be interested in that, but they would be interested in a relationship, especially if you're interested in a relationship.
Well, this concludes our first half of an interview with Jerry Lynn Rogge. Did I pronounce that correct?
Rogge, uh-huh.
Rogge. We're talking about the Christian Record Foundation, which has been around a long time, and there's two more that I want to talk about, and I'll talk about them in the second half of the interview.
We'll have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.